During Christmas, as we celebrated the coming of God the Son, Jesus Christ, I hope you had many moments of remembering that God loves you very much, that He sent His one and only Son to die in your place for your sins, and that He cleansed you and made you righteous through His life, death, and resurrection. God loves you. That's a message that we often tell ourselves and we often hear and we like to tell other people, but how often do we just slow down and actually think about that? God loves me. You know, when you hear that, you might think in terms of parents. Parents kind of have to love their kids. They might not like them very much at times, but they have to love them, right? We've been there, right? I'm the only one. There are times when I love my boys like crazy, and there's other times when it's a little bit difficult. God's love is not like that. His love is holy and pure. He takes pleasure in His children, those who are born again by repenting and putting their faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He delights in them, enjoys them, is pleased in them, because they are in Christ, justified, righteous, holy. God delights in His children. You know, every Sunday, Pastor John calls up the kids and has them standing here on stage, and they stand up here and they look at us and they get all fidgety and they're all cute, and John asks them questions and they answer those questions in cute ways, and they're just these beauties standing up here. And even though for many of us, our own kids are not up here, we are so pleased with these kids. Like, we love it. We take great pleasure in seeing them. We take great pleasure in being a church where kids are a part of us, and we enjoy them. Well, our Heavenly Father is that way with us, yet to a far greater extent. You and I bring joy to Him. Do you ever think of yourself in that way? The holy God, the creator of all, the one who keeps everything going, the one who knows everything, you bring pleasure to the Heavenly Father. You ever think of yourself that way? Do you ever define yourself that way? Who are you? Well, I'm one who brings pleasure to the Lord. If you're like me, you often don't do that. We define ourselves in many other ways, finding our identity and value in the same way that the world does. If we are honest, we might admit that we don't even believe it. We think more along the lines of God putting up with us, or He's disappointed with us and with our sinning. And perhaps He reluctantly gave us salvation. But that's not true. God was not talked into saving you. He wasn't tricked into saving you. He chose to love you and for you to receive His love in being made born again, changed from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive in a loving Father-child relationship with Him. We're going to spend a little time looking at that this morning, but let's come together before our Lord in prayer before we do. Father, You know our hearts, our history. You know what we are like as kids and the baggage that we have since we were children. You know what happens to us when we hear of us being loved. when we hear that. You know of our rejection or our acceptance. You know of our humility and our pride. You know of our walls, our armor that we have put up to protect ourselves throughout our lives. You know all of that. And Father, I ask that this morning you would crack that armor. You would strip us of our confidence that we have in I don't know what. That you would meet us in our hurt of who we are. And that we would hear your word this morning speak to who we are, to who we truly are. Not this front that we put up, but to who we are. That we would hear you this morning. Please, Father, we can't do that on our own. We need you to do that. So please, would you open us up? Give us ears to hear and eyes to see your truth. Pour into us and correct wrong thinking, wrong believing, and bring healing. Bring healing of what's been done to us to make us think that we are not loved and unlovable. Please, Father, do this to me. Do this to our brothers and sisters for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Jonah. We went through the book of Jonah, I don't know, a number of years ago. In Jonah chapter 1, we'll start there. We're going to flip through it. So Jonah chapter 1, verse 2, God says to Jonah, "Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are." So what does Jonah do? He goes and buys a boat ticket, not to Nineveh, but the opposite direction. What is he doing? Why did he do that? We'll find out in a moment. But on that boat, going in the opposite direction, really bad things started happening. A deadly storm. And Jonah ends up getting tossed into the water. God rescues Jonah through a fish, and then God said again to Jonah in Jonah chapter 3, verse 2, "Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message of judgment I have given you." And this time Jonah goes. But why didn't he do it before? Because Jonah knew how good and gracious God is to sinners. When Jonah spoke the message of God to the city of Nineveh, the people repented and turned to the Lord, and the Lord removed his judgment on them. That's great, right? That's fantastic. Not to Jonah. This change of plans upset Jonah. He got angry over it. Jonah chapter 4, verse 1. So he complained to the Lord about it. "Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. I knew how easily you could cancel your plans for destroying these people." Jonah wanted those people to receive the wrath of God's judgment. He wanted them punished. He wanted them destroyed. He wanted that city to just keep moving toward destruction, not being warned about God's coming judgment. But they were warned. God shows who he is. He is compassionate and gracious and merciful. So he warns them and they repent and they receive forgiveness, not judgment. You see, God is not stingy with his love and his salvation. God loves to give his salvation. He's gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, filled with love. He loves giving forgiveness instead of his judgment. That's God. Salvation does not need to be pried from his hands. It can't be. He wants to give salvation. That's why he did everything needed to make salvation possible. and he is pleased and he enjoys giving salvation. Listen to what Jesus said to worshipers of God in Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, in this passage, Jesus is talking about us being generous toward others, for us not to worry about anything, but be generous with everything, because we belong to God the Father, and it is his good pleasure to give us everything of true value, which is entry and citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. That is salvation. We are his. We are found in Christ. We are with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus' life has been given to bring us into God's family, and our inheritance is the kingdom of heaven, eternal life. He gave this to us. It was his plan and his good pleasure, and he joyfully gave us salvation, and he put us in his kingdom. Jesus saved us, and boom, justification, righteousness, inheritance of the kingdom of heaven. And if saving you gives him pleasure, how much more pleasure do you think you give him now that you're his kid? Think about that. Saving you gave him pleasure. What about now that you are saved? What do you think you do to him? He's not harboring resentment toward you, wanting to sit you down and go over again and again just how lucky you are that he saved you. He gladly gave you forgiveness and righteousness and eternal life. And he helps you live a life of enjoying the truth that you belong to him. In fact, we have a heavenly Father that works at making our lives even better. Jesus has a brief description of this in John 15, verse 1 to 2. There he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Our heavenly Father is the vine dresser, the pruner. He is working at making our union with Jesus even better and stronger and purer on our end. With our faith and our hope and our love and our looking with reality that everything belongs to Jesus and everything is about Jesus. He's changing us in that way, making us more like Jesus, who fully worshiped the Lord and fully loved the Lord all the time. He is changing us into being more like Christ. Not changing Edgar so Edgar isn't Edgar anymore, but changing Edgar so that Edgar is more Christ-like and that Edgar worships the Lord with his whole heart and his whole soul more. That's what he's doing to us. Now, does that sound like a father that is mad or disappointed with us, or one that has threats and speeches and wants to sit us down and go, man, you're lucky I saved you because you suck so bad? He doesn't do that. He doesn't. He takes pleasure in us. He delights in us and works at giving us more of an abundant life, pruning us so we live more fulfilled lives in Christ, becoming more Christ-like. I want to walk you through a few passages very briefly, the ones that Jacob read and a few more. Psalm 36, verse 7 to 9. Just listen to this again. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. they feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. God's pleasure in us just spills all over us. We take refuge in him. Under his wings, we find safety because he is our safety. We feast. He fills us, feeds us. We get satisfied on the Lord's provision. He provides for all our needs. Flowing from him to us is his river of delight, the joy and the thrill of the Lord. We drink from him. We are covered in his joy and his delight over us. Stick your name in that passage. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. Edgar takes refuge in the shadow of your wings. Edgar feasts on the abundance of your house, and you give Edgar drink from the river of your delights. Wow, that's awesome. Psalm 149, verse 4. The Lord takes pleasure in his people. He enjoys them. He adorns the humble with salvation. He makes them beautiful with his salvation. The Lord takes pleasure in and he enjoys Edgar and Peter and Andrew and Linda and Karen and Barclay and Mary and Jacob and Karen. He enjoys, takes pleasure in his children. Psalm 147, verse 11, the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Do you have reverent fear of the Lord? Is your hope in him because he loves you? He takes pleasure in you. He takes pleasure in you. You bring him pleasure. And this verse from Zephaniah, one that I've brought up so many times because it is an amazing verse. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. So he is filled with joy over his children. Not just rejoicing, but rejoicing with gladness. Isn't that funny that that's how the sentence goes? He's not just rejoicing. He's rejoicing with gladness. So he delights in you with gladness, rejoicing over you with joy. And his joy is spilling out over you with loud singing. Not just singing, but loud singing, shouts of joy, a joyful song. And in the Hebrew language, this verse leans toward an understanding that God is dancing for joy over us. Now just picture that. Loud singing, dancing with joy over his children. That's the sovereign creator, King of kings, Lord of lords. That's how he looks at us. Come on. This is amazing. This is mind-blowing stuff. This is how he is toward those whom he has saved, toward those that he has made born again through Jesus Christ. This is great news. God takes pleasure in his children. He delights in us. And it's not that now God delights in you and now he does not delight in you. Or now God loves you and now he doesn't love you. If you are in Christ, if you have repented of your sin and put your faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are born again. He loves you and delights in you. that does not change. You are His and stay His. You know, you are not a disappointment to God. You are not a disappointment to God. We are often disappointments to each other. I'm a disappointment to you. I have disappointed you. I will disappoint you again because I am a sinner and I fall for sin. And not just that, I make mistakes. I will disappoint you. There'll be weeks when you don't like me, and then the next week you'll like me again for a while anyway, and there we go. Not with God. Not with God. He is pleased with you. He always has His eyes on you because He loves you. He loves having you on His radar. You bring Him joy. Listen to Jesus' words from Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 11. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? We are selfish, sinful, prideful people, yet we provide great gifts for our kids. We love our kids. We enjoy our kids. We enjoy our church kids. How much more do you think the perfect, holy God provides, gives gifts, loves, and enjoys His children? Do you think you outlove and out-enjoy the holy God? Not a chance. Worshippers of God, listen. Listen. God is not looking at you and rolling His eyes and throwing His hands up in the air, ready to give you another speech. He enjoys you. He enjoys you. Does He hate your sin? Totally. More than you ever will. But because we are in Christ, His love doesn't get stalled or disappear when we reject Him and embrace sin. He continues to enjoy us and brings us back to the truth through the Holy Spirit. He convicts us of our sin. He disciplines us to show us life is found in Him and sin is empty promises leading to destruction. The implications of this, the implications of who we are as loved children of God, the implications are endless. You don't have to go out and be a people pleaser to find worth and acceptance. You don't have to work so hard to look great in front of people to find value. You don't have to be on social media telling people how great your life is. You don't have to try to get people to like you in order to feel like somebody. You don't have to be a slave to your reputation or the image you're creating for yourself. You don't have to go out looking to be somebody or questioning where you stand with the holy God. The sovereign God who has always been and who has created everything enjoys His children. He delights in you. That's an unchanging, eternal truth. He is the living water and the bread of life that satisfies the soul. He is life in abundance, and wherever you go, whatever the situation you get into, you can know that what God says to you is, I delight and enjoy you. But if you have not repented, and put your faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you will not hear that from God. You will receive what all people who are not God's children will receive, and what you've worked for, which is eternal punishment in hell. So repent today and believe in Jesus and become born again into the kingdom of God. Christians, God loves you. God takes pleasure in you. He's pruning you. You can drink from his river of delights. He rejoices over you with gladness, and he exalts over you with loud singing. How wonderful is that? Is that worthy of praising the Lord? Is that worthy of thanking Jesus for? Is that worthy of laying down your life in worship of the Heavenly Father, King of Kings, who loves his children? You bet it is. And that's who we are. Define yourself that way. Preach that message to yourself over and over again. The Lord delights in his children. Let's pray together. Father, would you seal this truth in our hearts and our minds? Would you make this a time, a spot where we are standing on this truth, where we don't forget this truth? Would you bring to mind this truth when we slip into our own thinking and understanding of ourselves instead of going to your word and listening to what you say? Father, would you please bring healing to our hearts? Yeah. Father, we are so grateful for this truth. May all of us move forward in this truth. May this truth affect how we live our lives, how we live with our families, how we live with our friends, how we live with our church family. May we not search after things in the world to get our identity or our value or our worth. May it solely be found in you, and may we stand there with perseverance. Oh, please, Father, glorify yourself in that way and bless us in that way. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.